If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no. Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a guest who has been on the show a few times. I think it's been like every 2 or 3 years you seem to come back on the show and you always have a new record, so it works out pretty well. But I think the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself and give a bit of background about what you do as an artist.
So, thanks for having me, Sam. I'm Twitchit. I am a singer, songwriter, producer, and DJ, which is probably different since last time I talked to you.
Yes.
I've taken up DJing in the last couple of years. And this is now my fourth album release. And, I don't know, what else can we tell you? The album is called Popocalypse. You can get into, I suppose, what that means.
For sure we can, yeah, yeah. And I guess, like, just to start off, you're not in Manitoba right now, right? You're in BC?
I'm not, I'm in Vancouver.
So is that are you fully living in Vancouver at this point?
I can't answer that for legal reasons, so I'm just I'm back and forth between Winnipeg and Vancouver.
Okay.
Pretty much constantly. So
yeah, that makes sense. I think I saw a poster a few months ago, you playing at the Albert or something, and it was so it must have been one of the times you were back.
I did. Yeah. I played there in August.
Cool.
It was fun. I actually hadn't played a show in Winnipeg for a long time, so it was like nice to just like see people and
Yeah, have you been playing a lot of shows out in BC?
No, I've been like, just like putting everything I have into this album for the last like 2 years, but total 4 years, I guess.
Okay.
Because I pretty much didn't stop after I released the last one, and then I've released it, and now I'm like finally starting to get shows back on the radar. So.
Cool. Well, and we definitely can get into the record and what it's all about. But I guess you mentioned right off the top of the DJing thing. How did you get into that? And what are you, I mean, are you actively like performing at shows as a DJ or what's going on there?
Yeah. So it's, I worked it into my show, my performance, mostly because like I needed more like stuff to do on stage.
Okay.
Like, I was collaborating with dancers a lot, and that was like fun, but I'm not really much of a dancer.
Right.
I like to be busy in kind of all aspects of my life. So I incorporated that. And then that way I also have a little bit more control over my sound and like my, you know, my set. And I mean, basically I was just plugging a computer into the system before.
Yeah.
And so it's just more buttons to press, more fun.
Well, that kind of makes sense too, because you're with the last album and this one as well, there's a lot happening. It seems like, I mean, from the visual perspective, it's pretty heavy on, I don't know, the content. Like there's just a lot of stuff. You always have these music videos that are very sort of dense with events, I guess, if that's a good way to describe it. But there's always a lot.
It's ADHD core.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. But I mean, it's like, it's cool. It's always, whenever you put out a new video, I know it's going to be something interesting, right? You're not going to just be sitting there on stage singing. I mean, there's going to be like, the stuff's happening. It's going to be pretty epic.
Thank you.
So with this record, I mean, that's kind of where I wanted to start. I mean, I can't say the title without stuttering, but Popocalypse.
Perfect. That's that was the intention.
Yeah. Just confuse everyone. So what's the story behind this? Because like you said, you've been working on this for almost 4 years now, dating back to the previous one. What has changed, I guess, in your sound, if people have heard your earlier music?
Well, okay, from a technical perspective, from a technique perspective, I mean, this album, like, is really where I learned how to, like, mix properly. Like, I had my first two albums and master professionally, and then the last album before this, it was, like, largely experimental.
Yeah.
And I was kind of just dabbling, and it's like when you start mixing and mastering, like, unless if you have somebody like teaching you what to do, it's like hard to even know what questions to ask.
For sure.
And then once you start figuring out what questions to ask, it starts to get easier. But it's like, you know, kind of not even really knowing where to start. So this one, like, I actually kind of know what I'm doing, which is cool. Wow. It's taken a long time to get to that point.
Does that, I mean, is it just that you're more comfortable and you can kind of do it quicker now, or more sort of making the choices that are going to work?
Well, yeah. I mean, because it's a whole, you're building a whole landscape. So once you start learning how to mix, like, that affects your songwriting process and your production process, you know?
Well, I'd imagine with your kind of music, too. I mean, you're doing... I mean, you're kind of a one-person show here, right? So, I mean, I was in a band years ago, and we did a demo, and I mixed it, and it was fucking horrible. Like, the mix was, it was just really, really bad. And but that's different, right? Because that was, like, a bunch of instruments, and I didn't know what I was doing, but this is
that's harder.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure.
Unless you have instruments, right?
So, yeah. So, I guess, what is sort of the structure of, like, what are you playing on these songs? I mean, you know, the live show is something completely different, but when you're creating these songs... to record them, what are you using to make the sound? The vocals are one thing,
it's all just MIDI. Like, it's very simple. The only thing that I'm recording is, like, my vocals, or like I'll do random effects. Like, there's literally songs where, like, I, like, blow my nose, and there's, like, I use that like, dabbling in sound design a little bit, but no, it's like, for the most part, it's like just MIDI and samples.
Okay.
It's a very simple setup. Like, I won't get, like, new gear or new plugins unless if like I feel like I fully have a grasp on what I already have, you know, because it decreases my decision making process and allows me to actually, like, put stuff out.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that does make sense. We'll be right back. The album cover for this is typically, like I was saying, your imagery and your visuals are always very big, and they're very technological, kind of seems to be technology seems to be a vibe throughout the past few videos you've done and album covers. What is the story behind sort of the I'm going to say this, Popocalypse, the theme and the title and everything else? Yeah, I said it twice now. I'm good. I got it.
Everything I do is like, feel like I'm pulling it just kind of like from nowhere. Like, it's not strategic.
Okay.
But then it becomes strategic as I start adding it onto it. And I find out as I'm writing and like after I release it what it means. So I can tell you what it means now.
Sure.
But then I'm gonna find out that it means something else later.
Well, what does it mean now then? I guess, yeah, that's
So this is funny because the last time we talked, it was COVID.
Yes.
And you were like, what's the next album going to be called or something like that? And I was like, it's going to be the soundtrack. Or you said something like, it's going to be the soundtrack to the end of the world. And I was like, it's literally going to be the soundtrack to the end of the world. Like, that's the plan, because I had actually already written the title track at that point. And so I knew like a vague theme was going to be. And so it was kind of like just pulling from that COVID energy of reevaluating our lives from, I mean, a technological perspective.
Sure.
But also just from like an existential perspective, and like it, so many people I know, for example, quit drinking. And just kind of like taking a moment to like reflect and like see like what kind of being created in society. Some time has passed since then. Some reflection has gone out the window. but the music industry is changing. Obviously, it's changed a lot in the last. It's continuing to change a lot. And what I kind of like see and foresee, and I mean, take this with a grain of salt. This is my opinion. Academically sound information, but like I foresee people kind of wanting to abandon fame culture. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. And I think that leading up to COVID anyway, that was sort of a big that whole culture was what everyone was aiming for, right? Seems like everyone was trying to get their 15 minutes however they possibly could. And that's an interesting idea that it's being. Do you feel like it's kind of going away now?
I wouldn't say that it's going away, but I think that it's coming to a point where like we're realizing as a culture like what we've like created with these like gods in celebrities. And as a musician and an artist, it's like difficult to deal with that because like to me, success is like if I put out something that I really like and something that my friends really like, and I get to book shows and I get to get paid for what I'm good at, and people care to say. But there's kind of this like larger expectation from people around us as musicians that like if success for them is if like we are a household name.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's kind of that, like, also speaking to that struggle. It's like, I'm not aiming for that. Like, to be famous, like, to household name level is, like, you're basically a slave to culture and to, you know, people's perceptions of you.
Yeah, you don't have the freedom
to the industry at large.
You don't have the freedom to do whatever the hell you want because people have expectations, right?
Exactly.
So with all of this, I mean, that subject matter and then the idea of, you know, the soundtrack to the apocalypse and all of these things we've been talking about, I mean, COVID, all of that has the potential, I think, to result in very bleak art. And I think a lot of people post-COVID have put out a lot of, or especially during COVID, a really, really kind of downer and dark and bleak music and art and writing. But I don't think this is a bleak record. Like, it sounds very, I don't think happy is the right word, but it doesn't sound like it's not a downer. Like it's a very upbeat album, even though you're tackling sort of these existential questions.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I mean, it's because of it. law of creation, destruction as a cycle, destruction as a part of creation, right? So we just sort of something comes, you know, obsolete or destroyed, it gives way for something else to come up, you know?
Right.
And so sort of another theme that like relates to this is the topic of AI in music and in art. And I mean, I could talk about that for a real long time, but your podcast is 20 or 30 minutes, but.
Well, maybe just on the AI thing. Like, I mean, where do you just generally stand on AI in art? Like, is your album cover AI created?
Okay, so here's how my album, the background I used Adobe Firefly, which is an AI generative text program, and then I did the photo shoot myself. I did anything that's like not the I basically drew on the background myself. Okay. So it's like I used it as a tool, but like the idea was mine, and it took an awful lot of work to make that album cover. And so the way that I see AI is like it's a tool. It's not, I don't feel threatened by it because it's something that helps me to articulate my vision better. Not something that creates the vision for me.
Right. Still give it the prompts to do what it does.
Well, and it's not just prompts. Like I wouldn't just type something in the computer and just use that as an image.
Yeah, right. Like,
I'm using it as a prop. A prop is not the main character. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it just seems like a lot of people that I talk to on the show, even that I don't think they're afraid of it, but there's this concern that it's going to usurp kind of flesh and blood artists. And I think the way you've just described it, I mean, you did use some of it, but you also kind of embellished it and added to it and mixed it with your own work, your own creative work. So,
well, it exactly. And if we're talking about music and musicians, like musicians don't. Like, we don't love to mix and master. Like, that's, like, bullshit work, you know? So if we could have, if, like, AI is never going to replace our ability to, like, imagine.
Yeah.
All it is doing is, like, calculating the sum of our ideas. So it's, I feel like if you're threatened by a robot's ideas, then, like, maybe you need some new ideas. Like, sorry. Not sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think thinking about it as a robot too maybe kind of softens it a bit from being this sort of unfathomable digital overlord that's, you know, gonna take all of our jobs. And but just thinking, yeah, this is just it's a robot, it's as smart as people made it.
It's a calculator.
Right. Just a very fancy calculator.
Yeah.
Do you, I mean, we, you know, we just talked about sort of the visual aspect of it. Do you foresee yourself using AI musically in the future?
I think that if it can make my job mixing easier, like, I feel like for stuff like a frequency spectrum analyzers, like, I feel like it would be useful for that type of thing.
Okay.
You know? Like, or just like little things, but I don't foresee it as something like that. I'm just going to click a button and it's going to, like, you know, make a song sound like a song.
Right. The record's not going to happen. You type in 13 words and then suddenly you got a record. Yeah. Yeah.
No. And I mean, people are doing that, sure. But like that music's not going to go anywhere. Or if it is, it's not going to go anywhere for long.
No. No, it's not. And no? People are going to recognize it. I think they already do recognize it when it's used in that non-thinking way where you just, okay, now do all the work for me, right? People can pick that up pretty easily.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to listen to something that sounds like the average of everything else you've ever heard in that genre, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one thing, I mean, I don't want to talk about AI the whole time, but one thing that I've read about recently that I think is really interesting is the idea that AI eventually is going to kind of fold in on itself because all of the information it's going to be drawing from is going to be itself. So many people are putting AI-created images out in the world that it's going to start learning its own messed up images, and then it's going to continue to mess up, and then eventually it's just going to be garbage. But I don't know if that's not a question. I just read about that recently. I thought it was funny.
That is funny. I'd never heard of that. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm not really sure either, but it would be good if suddenly all these pictures started sprouting extra heads and stuff, just, you know, because it would...
That would be great.
It would be cool. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So what's sort of the plan with this record now that it's out? I mean, you've had these songs for quite a while that you've been working on. Finally, the record is here. People can hear it. Are you hoping to play more shows? What's sort of the goal in the near future?
I am, yes. I'm trying to find the time to book shows, actually. So if anybody wants to book me, I've hired a friend to start booking some shows for me, and I'm working on the PR stuff, like, slowly but surely.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's a full-time job, you know?
Totally. Yeah. Have you found sort of a community in Vancouver that sort of fits what you do? Because what you do is, I think, hard to pin down a little bit. So do you know sort of...
It really is. It really is. Long story short, like, yes and no. I know of less than a handful of artists that, like, kind of fit with my overall sound and aesthetic. No, not really. But the thing is, like, I don't really care. I'm not glued to any sort of like path.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've opened for metal bands before doing like singer-songwriter pop stuff. Like, I don't care. You know, it's like, if I like the people that I'm doing a show with, that's all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah. When you come back to Winnipeg, I mean, you know, like, you did that show in August and everything. Is that any different as far as figuring out where to play, or is it the same kind of idea where you just want to play with people who are cool and they'll probably be into what you do?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, not even necessarily that what I do is their, you know, favorite thing, but I just like getting together and like supporting each other as artists, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I also find that when I do shows like that, like, I think there were like four bands and they are all like pretty different genres, and it's like I end up listening to music and seeing shows that like I wouldn't think to go to.
Yeah.
And like being able to expand my horizons and be influenced by different types of music.
I think those are kind of the best shows sometimes, where the bill is completely random and you wouldn't ever expect these artists to be on there together, but it works out.
Exactly.
Now, one thing I got to ask you about, because we talked about it last time, is do you remember what you, well, I'm sure you do remember. I remember when you said you talked about going door to door with your records. I don't think that's going to be the same promotion this time around, but it was a different idea, right? Like a very unusual way to sort of market yourself. Are you still trying to think of ways to sort of get your music out there in maybe a non-traditional sense?
I am. And actually, I did actually have a brief stint with the door-to-door stuff in the summer because I just like needed to or like talk to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there like stuff has changed. Like marketing is constantly changing.
Yeah.
And you do have to find like creative ways to get it out there. But I don't know. Like it's just become such a monster to market your music online now that it's kind of like, unless if you have, you know, a team,
yeah,
like a 100 like meme accounts putting out, you know, quirky little stuff about your record. It's like, how do you get people to care about your music en masse? Like,
yeah.
Like the people who care about my music are like people I know in real life, the most part. You know, so I don't know. It's like the door knocking thing isn't scalable, but the online marketing thing is just a giant. So it's like, okay, how do I kind of find this like in between space? It's kind of where I'm at right now.
I think a lot of people are probably
in terms of marketing, anyway.
Yeah. On top of everything else, there's the ease of releasing music has changed so much that now everybody is putting out music constantly. I imagine the amount of releases that have happened in the past 10 years compared to the, you know, the 10, 20 years before that has got to be extreme, because everyone has a computer and you have got a couple little pieces of equipment, you can make a record. It might not be great, but you can do it, and you put it online and it's suddenly out in the world, right? So yeah, how do you find an audience with that? I can't imagine. Podcasting has a similar problem, but not quite the same, like, because I do such a niche thing, and it's all Winnipeg people mostly listening anyway, right? But I can't imagine being a musician now and trying to just like find listeners.
I don't think it's that simple. I think that, like, you know, with what I'm talking about, like fame culture changing and stuff like that, especially for artists, it's like, I think that it is going to start to become more community based. And I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I can't really imagine that there's any other way, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to picture what that would look like as well, and I'm not too sure, but I like the idea of it. I mean, the idea of community based anything is always better than you know, one person trying to become like a celebrity or famous or whatever from it. So yeah, that would be cool if it moves in that direction. But then we have people who are still even now appearing on some TikTok or some shit, and then they become like a celebrity for 3 months and then disappear in
5 minutes. Yeah.
I don't know how that. I think that the long game is probably better, right? Where you're just kind of plugging away. Your audience is your audience, and you're doing what you want to do, sort of on your own time and on your own schedule and everything.
Well, exactly. And when it comes to, you know, like crazy marketing tactics and stuff like that, I think like for me as an independent artist, anyways, like that only works if I'm having fun with it.
Sure.
You know. Like there has to be some other reason that I'm doing it that like has a meaning behind it than just trying to go viral, because that doesn't inspire me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the door-to-door thing, you have to really believe in what you're offering. If you got to go explain it one-on-one to people, right? That's a very different than clicking some buttons and saying, hope someone likes it.
Exactly. Well, and then with the door-to-door thing too, it was like, you know, I would end up trading other musicians CDs for CDs, and I would end up like making friends, and and it's kind of an adventure, you know. So
yeah, for sure. So where can people find this? I mean, I know, you know, as we've discussed, music is weird now where everyone listens in different platforms and it's all over the place, but where, if someone wanted to hear your record, maybe they're hearing you for the first time, where would you direct them to check you out?
I'm on all streaming platforms. All you got to do is type in my name. Very easy to find. You can Google me, look me up on Spotify, Apple Music, you know, wherever you listen to me, wherever you stream. If you like to support, I'm also on Bandcamp.
Cool.
And people can buy the record there. If people like physical CDs, they can contact me personally. I will mail you one.
Awesome.
My own two hands.
Awesome. And then do you have anything Winnipeg related coming up? Like, do you have any plans to come back here in the near future, do any shows or anything like that? Or is that to be determined?
I don't have anything booked at the moment, but I'm back and forth all the time. So, you know, it's a pretty distinct possibility.
Cool. And then I guess, you know, kind of jumping off that, where can people find out more about when you are playing shows? Because, you know, someone could hear this the day it gets released, or they could hear it a year from now, and by then, you know, you could have a new record, you could be doing a lot more shows. What's the best way to keep track of what you're up to, whether it's social media or website, anything like that?
My website or social media, I tend to keep up to date, everything pretty up to date on Instagram, Facebook, and my website, which is twitchit.com.
Cool. I don't know if we ever talked about this in the previous times we were on the show, but what is the significance behind the Twitchit name? Like, I like it. I just don't know where does it come from.
Do you want the real answer or the fun answer?
Let's go with the fun answer.
It is the sound of rain falling on Neptune.
Okay. On Neptune.
Yeah.
How do you know what that sounds like?
So Neptune rains diamonds. I imagine if the diamonds were falling on the ground, it would be like...
I like that explanation. What's the real answer?
I can't tell you.
You can't tell me. Okay. All right. We'll go with the diamonds.
Real legal reasons.
The diamonds on Neptune. Oh, okay. That's a good answer. For sure. Awesome.
Shades of microstates and high five.